Okay, now tonight we're continuing just our short series just on holiness. This is one of our last evening services because we've got evening service tonight. Next week, family gathering, 5 o'clock. The week after that, we will have an evening service on the 22nd. We'll be thinking about the incarnation and what it means for us, for Jesus to come into the world. But tonight we are thinking about holiness. And you remember last week, if you were here, that we thought about the holiness of God. Sometimes we, I don't think, focus enough on the holiness of God, a God who is perfect, a God who is pure, a God who is sinless, a God who is awesome, a God who is above all things. And sometimes we need to lift up our eyes, because I think in what we looked at last week is, you know, sometimes we think we can fall into two traps. One is being too distant from God. You know, we think God is away up there and I'm away down here. And therefore we cannot relate to God. We think God is far away, and so that relationship is really cold. And we forget that God has reached out in his love and his mercy and sent us Jesus. He has come close to us. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's what it says in the scriptures, doesn't it? But the other pitfall that we can fall into is we become casual in our relationship with God. And we almost try to domesticate God, and we bring him down to our level. God chose to come down to our level, but we bring him further down to our level in a way. You know, when we become very chummy with God and we ask God, you know, just bless the plans that I've made in my life. Rather than saying, God, my life is yours, and I need to trust in your plans for my life. And so we need to have, you know, a healthy understanding of what our relationship is. That God is our Father. He's not our chum. That's what we thought about last week. And so often we, you know, can fall into the trap of thinking God is my chum and he just blesses, you know, I just want him to bless my thoughts for my own life. God is holy, and we're not to approach him with casualness. That's what we thought about last week. He's not our chum. He is the creator. He's the sustainer of all things. He is Almighty God, and yet he's also our Heavenly Father. And so that is a really close relationship. So we don't approach with casualness, but we do approach with confidence because of all that Jesus has done. And that's the balance, isn't it? That God is not distant, he's close beside us, and yet we have a particular relationship, a child relating to a father. And that's a really, you know, important relationship, isn't it? You know, I say to John and Alistair, you know, I'm not your friend at the end of the day, I'm your dad. That's that relationship, you know, the relationship I have with my dad, he's my dad. He's not, now we're on friendly terms, let's put it that way, but it's different to how you relate to a friend. There is a different relationship there, isn't there? Now, last week our focus was very much upon the holiness of God, but what I want to think about tonight is something that I think is really important, and it's something that I think is often lacking within the church, and it's our holiness. Our holiness. Now, that might seem strange to think, our holiness, what's that all about? And you might have heard that verse tonight where Peter quotes from the book of Leviticus in verse 16 in 1 Peter chapter 1 where Peter says, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." And you might be thinking to yourself, you know, what does that mean? Because how can we, as fallen humanity, be holy? Because we are sinful humans, aren't we? And each and every day we sin, don't we? We fall short of the glory of God. We think things that we ought not to think. We do things that we regret. We say things we shouldn't have said. Constantly we're doing that. You know, things are going on in our heads and we think, oh God, I've let you down again. So how can we be holy? What is this all about? What does it mean to be holy? Well, let's have a brief think about this evening. This is difficult, isn't it? When we're on dark nights and it's raining outside and you come in and you think, wow, it's 8:10, I need my bed. That's what I think quite often when I come. So it must be difficult for you as well. Let's have a think about this, okay? Peter here in this chapter, in chapter 1, refers to his readers as obedient children. Okay, so he refers to them as obedient children. Now, children, of course, reflect their parents, don't they? Yeah? Not just in physical looks, but in their character. Have you ever caught yourself in the mirror and you've seen your mum or you've seen your dad? That's starting to happen to me. It's quite scary. And we resemble our parents, don't we? Not just in our physical looks, but also in our character, don't we? And, you know, sometimes in our life, you know, you catch yourself saying something and you're like, that's exactly what my dad would have said. Or, you know, or that's exactly what my mum would have said. And you have a wee chuckle to yourself. You think, oh, that's exactly what, you know, you can't escape from how you've been brought up in many ways. You resemble the character of your parents. Peter here refers to those to whom he's writing as obedient children. And what we have to realize here is that Christians have been given new birth into new life. And therefore we must change the way that we think and live to reflect the character of God, who is our heavenly Father. Okay? So as his children, we ought to reflect the characteristics of God. That's the whole point here, isn't it? We ought to be like what God is like. Yeah? To follow in God's footsteps. And just as we show the traits of our parents, we also are meant to show the traits of God as our heavenly Father. Now, this means being holy as God is holy. Because God is, that's what we looked at last week. God is a holy God, therefore we are to be holy. We are to follow in the traits of God at the end of the day. Okay? And it's interesting just to reflect on the different characteristics of God, because we are to be like God is. So we're to be loving, we're to be, you know, gracious, we're to be merciful. All the characteristics of God. Now, the first thing, I want to think about holiness for ourselves in two ways this evening. Okay, just very briefly. Okay, the first thing I want you to think about this evening is, firstly, if you are a Christian, you are holy. That's what I want to think about first of all. Now, you might think, hold on, that has exploded my mind. How can it be I am holy? Be holy as I am holy, because I am holy. How can it be that we're already holy? Well, if you are a Christian here tonight, this means that we have trusted in Jesus. That's what a Christian is, yeah? And in Jesus, we are born again. Yeah, it says that in John's Gospel. Also said it in the passage tonight. Maybe you never noticed that it talks about being born again here in 1 Peter. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. So we are born again. So our old life, when you're born again, your old life is gone. It's died with Christ. And that's what happens in the cross. You die with Christ on the cross and we rise to new life, to new birth. We are a new creation. We are born again. And because we are born again, and because of what Jesus has done, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. If you want the technical term for this, it's imputation. That's what happens. Jesus' righteousness is imputed to us and received by faith. And so this is the amazing thing. When God looks at us, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And is Christ holy? Yes, he is. He's righteous. He's sinless in every way. And so when God looks at us, we are holy. That's quite something to think about, isn't it? That is our reality. Our old self is dead, we're alive in Christ, and we are justified by him. And when God looks at us, we are holy and pure. How wonderful. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish, without defect. That's what it says in our passage. That's quite a thought, isn't it? This is why Peter speaks about us being foreigners here on earth. Because that's what we are. We don't belong here. This is not, we love West Kilbride, but it's not our home. We love Scotland, it's not our home. We love the United Kingdom, it's not our home. Our home is with God in heaven. That's why it is brilliant to be part of the worldwide church. Because it's not about nationalities here on earth. It's about a reality, which is nationality in heaven. We're heavenly citizens together. How wonderful. Peter speaks about us being foreigners here on earth because that's what we are. We don't belong here. And so in a legal sense, we are united with Christ and we are already holy. And that's really important, actually, for us to realize. And maybe you've never really realized that for yourself. My old self is gone. I am holy because what Jesus did on the cross, he paid for my sin, past, present, and future. He's paid for it all. It's all gone. You know, it's not as if, you know, just a snapshot in time and, you know, Jesus only paid the sins up to that point. Pass all your sin for your whole life covered by the blood of Christ. And so in that sense, the legal sense, we're already holy and it ought to be so because that's the family likeness, isn't it? God is holy. We are holy because we're adopted into God's family. We are his children. As God is holy, we are holy. So I want to say to you tonight, this is our legal reality. Okay? We are holy because of what Jesus has done. Our old self is gone. We are a new creation in Christ. Of course, even though that's our legal reality, we live here in the here and now, don't we? And that is a struggle at times. And Paul often, you know, in Romans and 1 Corinthians, you know, he speaks about that struggle. The struggle of, you know, being a citizen of heaven and yet living here on earth. That is difficult. It is hard. We live here in these end times. Now, in these times, we realize that we are not holy, don't we? We realize that we are not perfect. But the fact that we are, you know, holy, legally holy, but in present reality are not holy, doesn't excuse us for slackness in terms of our living. We are called to live in reverent fear and to love one another, as Peter says here, deeply from the heart. You see, the fact that we are a new creation ought to change how we live out our life. Really. I think if we truly grasp all that God has done for us. If we truly grasp our old self has died, that makes a huge difference in our life, doesn't it? When you realize, you know, people have real hang-ups with the idea of being born again. But it's fundamental. Because it's, you know, that's what I miss in the Baptist church. I mean, what was lovely about Luke and Laura's baptism this year, okay, was the symbolism of it. That's what we miss with, you know, baby baptisms, basically. Okay? Because you see, you know, someone dying and then rising again. And that is born again. That is born again. That's what it is. That's what it symbolizes, isn't it? The fact we are a new creation ought to change how we live out our life because we're not our own any longer. We're bought at a price. And therefore, we don't live our lives any longer the way that we did before we were a Christian. Yeah? Now, sometimes we forget this, don't we? We forget, you know, it's nice that God has died for me on the cross, and I get that. But do you really understand? Your old self is gone. Dead. You owe everything to God. He's the one who's given you life. He's the one who's given you hope. He's the one who brings you forgiveness. We're not our own any longer. We're bought with a price. Now, when I speak about these things, you know, what does that mean for us? If we're bought at a price, and if we are born again, so the old self is gone and we are a new creation, what does this mean for us? How ought we to live out our lives now? Now, we know that we cannot earn our salvation, don't we? First and foremost, we know that. Our salvation is found in Christ. It's found in Christ alone. So let's get that out the way straight away. But it's understanding that when we are saved by Almighty God, that our life is His, and we ought to live out our life for His glory, His honour, His praise, and His praise alone. And we are to be different from culture. We are to be salt and light. We are to live for God and not for ourselves. Now, no one said this was easy. It's difficult living as a Christian in the world today, isn't it? And increasingly it's getting harder and harder. I was speaking to someone just at Messy Church yesterday, and they're part of a church that has left their denomination because they hold to Orthodox views, whereas the Anglican Church has drifted from that, and they're finding it increasingly hard. And as individuals, we're going to find it increasingly hard. I don't doubt I will get into trouble at some point for preaching the gospel. I'll get in trouble at school. As chaplain of a school, I'll get in trouble from a Sunday morning no matter what happens. There was a situation recently, I think you might have come across it, where there was a minister who said some ill-advised things to a politician. And there were those, it was a particular Guardian journalist who didn't like what had been said, went through this minister's Twitter feed, picked some things out of context, and said he was an Islamophobe and a homophobe. And what happened to that minister is he's been suspended, and he's been thrown out as a chaplain of his local school. Now, he might have said some things that are ill-advised, but these are the kind of things that are going to begin to happen, aren't they? Because it's increasingly difficult to live as a Christian in our culture today. No one said living for God is easy. We're so often tempted to compromise in so many different directions, aren't we? You know, I'll just go with whatever the cultural norm is because it's easier, rather than saying, look, that's enough, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to go down that direction. No one said this was easy, but it is completely necessary to live for God and to live fully for Him, recognizing all that He has done for us. You see, it's so easy, isn't it, to fear man rather than fear God. And yet, it's fear of God that Peter speaks about in this passage, isn't it? We are to be holy. We are to be different because we are set apart by God. And He in His mercy has reached out to us in grace. And we are His. Now, what does this practically look like for us in our life? Okay? I remember speaking to a minister a number of years ago, and they were really struggling because they had a lot of nominal members in their church. And there was one member in particular who didn't come to church. And the reason they didn't come to church was because they did their garden on a Sunday morning. And now, you know, whatever we think about the Sabbath day, whatever we think about, you know, going to church on a Sunday morning, whatever else, not a great thing for a church member to be doing on a Sunday morning, doing their garden. There was another minister that I know who had a church elder who was constantly playing golf on a Sunday morning rather than being at church. Now, this party thinks, oh, you know, how do these two things marry up? You know, you're putting gardening above worship. You're putting, you know, playing golf above worship. Now, in many ways, I'm speaking to the convert tonight. You know, you're the most faithful people coming out in a wintry, cold, dark night coming here this evening. But we are called to be different, to be countercultural, to put God above all things. You know, and if his church members are doing the garden on the Sunday morning, well, you've got to wonder where their priorities lie. And if people look at us in our life and they wonder, and they don't realise we're a Christian, serious questions to be asked there, isn't there? Are we really living for God? Have we really put God as our priority in our life? Or are we compromising in too many areas? We are to be holy, to live out our lives for God, no matter how hard that might be. So I want you to think through these two things this evening. I want you to think through the legal reality. You are holy. That's quite something to think through, isn't it? You are covered by the blood of Christ, covered by the righteousness of Jesus. So when God looks at you, he sees purity, because all your sin has been washed away. That's the legal reality. But the present reality is that we've not reached that time when we will be with God forever and ever. And therefore now, in the here and now, as we understand all that God has done for us, that we were bought at a price, that we are born again, that the old person has gone and the new has come, we're called to live for God, to honour God, and to witness to God wherever we might be, whether that be at school, at college, at university, at work, in retirement, wherever it might be, to be zealous for God, for his glory, for his honour, for his praise, to be holy as he is holy. That's not easy. We'll face many challenges in doing that. But who said the Christian life was easy? It's the difficult path. It's not the wide road, is it? It's the narrow path. It's the narrow gate. But wide is the gate that leads to destruction. It's not easy sometimes being a Christian, but it is worthwhile. Always worthwhile. Because you know at the end of time, all will be well, because you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. How wonderful. So I encourage you tonight, know deep inside you are holy, wonderful, imputed righteousness of Christ. But also know here and now, we're called to live as salt and light here on earth, and to give God the glory and God the praise. Shall we just pray? Let's pray together. Loving Lord God, these are deep truths that we are considering this evening, but we thank you that you are a holy God, that you are the one who is pure and perfect and sinless. And we thank you, Lord God, that in your mercy you sent Jesus into the world. We thank you that he faced all the temptations that we face, and yet he was without sin. And we thank you, Lord God, that he was willing to go to the cross at Calvary, and all our sin was placed upon him, and he paid the sacrifice for our sin, that we might be set free. And we thank you, Lord God, when we trust in Jesus, then we are covered by his righteousness, that we are made holy, so that when you, Lord God, look upon us, we are perfect and pure, and we can come into your very presence with boldness because of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you that that is our legal reality, that we are holy. But we recognize, Lord God, that we live in these difficult end times. But our present reality is that we continue to struggle with sin. We struggle in our thought life, and we struggle with the words that we say. We struggle with actions which are unkind and not glorifying to your name. But Father, we pray, as you empower us through your Holy Spirit, that we would live our lives for you, knowing that we are yours, that we are bought at a price, and that you are our Redeemer and our King. So Heavenly Father, help us to be a people who honour you. Help us to be a people who witness to you, that others might see you in us, that we might reflect your glory, and that they too might want to come into the kingdom of God. So Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name.